We'd like to continue with another country, Lithuania. Mr. Leonidas Donskis from the ALDE Group is here. And Lithuania has been maybe not as much in the media as your neighbor country, Latvia, which on LGBT issues has been very outspokenly homophobic in many aspects. But there is also problems in Lithuania. And I remember being at the Baltic Pride last year, which for the first time took place in Vilnius, under lots of police protection, which I find good that it took place and that the police took its responsibility of really protecting us. But it was at moments a kind of very scary situation of being like walking 400 meters with police and even police on horses from one place to the next with all kind of radicals from the Catholic Christian part, but also with very right-wing extremist positions sort of threatening us. But it took place, which I think was progress. So, Mr. Donskis, what is your account of the situation in Lithuania?
Dear colleagues, if you kindly allow me very, very brief historical overview, very brief historical perspective. So I would say that I would split the whole story into two parts, and I guess that would be about Lithuania before 2004 and Lithuania after accession to the EU. I have to say that prior to our accession to the European Union, Lithuania was a sort of very conventional, easily recognizable case of East European country with a strong influence of the Roman Catholic Church, a sort of conservative, predictable Roman Catholic country with sort of prejudice and bias, but Lithuania didn't have a bad human rights record. I would say that at that time it was possible to notice sort of lack of a more sophisticated liberal approach. I think that any of my West European colleagues would have been struck and sometimes even shocked by inaccurate and sometimes very odd expressions, naughty jokes. But happily, they were not supported by the political homophobia, which was on the rise later on. But there were some signs which were a sort of early warning. And what happened in Krakow, in a neighboring and very close to us, country, Poland, was something that called for attention. That was related to the great poet Czesław Miłosz, whose centenary we're going to celebrate this year. It's 100 years since the birth of Czesław Miłosz. He was spending his old days in Krakow, in Poland, having spent much of his time in the United States. And Czesław Miłosz condemned very strongly the outbreak of homophobia in Poland. Although he was far from a left liberal, he was a more conservative person, but he found it absolutely unacceptable and disgusting, what he saw in Krakow, when it was a wave of homophobia and much aggression against homosexual people. And when Czesław Miłosz made himself clear regarding his distaste and disdain for what he saw, he was advised to go to his native Lithuania, where he was born, instead of criticizing Poland. So, and that was a warning. But I have to say that, much to my regret, those things were repeated by Lithuania sometime after. And of course, everybody knows what happened in 2009. I am meaning the preposterous and absolutely disgraceful law on the protection of minors from the detrimental effects of public information, which was passed on the 14th of July 2009. Symbolically, that was the day when the new European Parliament started working. And my country passed that law, which was a disgrace. And I think that was an historic disgrace. The law was vetoed twice, once by President Valdas Adamkus and then by his successor, our present President Dalia Grybauskaitė. But that was a very small cancellation because the Parliament overruled simply that dismissal, the veto, and finally it was adopted. But we know that after a very strong message and criticism of the European Parliament, it was corrected later. And of course, later on, we had absolutely preposterous things like the registration of some amendments tabled by a person who didn't merit to be mentioned here in this audience. But some political clowns became part of reality of my country simply because of the explosive proliferation of populist parties and politicians after 2004. Up to then, Lithuania was a sort of, you know, recognizable pattern of East European country with a former communist country and its rival, the arch-conservative, churchly, right-wing party, which would claim the fight for the independence and the future of the country. That was something very similar to many other Central East European countries, and that was the pattern of Lithuania. After 2004, we had an explosion, a proliferation of new populist parties, and some people started engaging in political clowning, and some of them came up with absolutely disgraceful homophobic speeches, and much to my regret, they were supported, or at least met with immortal silence, by the major actors of our political life. How to explain this? I would say that on the one side, there is good news, and the good news is the rise of very strong criticism among our young intellectuals, young left and right, center-right intellectuals, public figures, people who felt ashamed for what happened to Lithuania. They felt like Lithuania betrayed the principles of the EU, and they felt that, in fact, we simply we betrayed the principles which we subscribed and adopted before our accession. And that was something absolutely beyond our understanding, because we know that decriminalization of homosexuality was the condition, one of the principal things that we adopted. And then, by questioning or turning down those things, we simply compromised the country and compromised our moral reputation. But I have to say that if people like yours truly were in a very, very tiny minority some time ago, I think that now we have the rise of a very strong criticism, and those voices became part of reality. But still, I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, what is becoming absolutely obvious to me is that sociologists and political scientists will have much work trying to analyze what's happening in those countries. They had very unkind history before 1990. They had much luck and even happiness after 1990, because they were accepted by Europe. We became members of the EU. And this is very strange, that somehow, having spent so much time isolated, abused by our oppressors, we adopted their mental and political habits. And I have to say that we are still a society of coercion. We are a society of powerlessness and disrespect for human differences and human individuality. And I think that intellectual and moral void of post-communism, and I have to be quite clear on this, it is somehow goes hand in hand with the cycle of abuse, with the adoption of the mental and political habits of our former oppressors. It's a public secret that the former Soviet Union was full of contempt for homosexuality. We know it. We know that many eminent artists and scientists and just, you know, every walk of life, people from every walk of life had to conceal their identity, their sexual orientation. And I think that it's absolutely disgraceful that the countries that somehow had so much luck and historical fortune to liberate themselves from those things started repeating this absolutely disgraceful pattern, this disgraceful pattern of moral and political behavior. Finally, I have to say this very, very overtly in your presence. It's a problem of political and moral leadership. I do believe that presidents, prime ministers, and the political class of the country have to speak out not after, but before those things happen. They have to warn, they have to tell something, and I'm just afraid that we are losing our pivotal educational and moral aspects of policies. Politics is just a sort of power mechanics in my country, where it's the most important thing is just to win the sympathy of the crowd. Instead of educating, explaining something, instead of preventing some things. And I think that in this moral void and in this lack of political and moral leadership, those things became possible. My final observation would be that it was not accidental, because after the outbreak of anti-Semitism or xenophobia in my country, there was the mortal silence from the side of our political class and the political elite. They just wanted to make it up to the church or to the press, to the media. And that's why the outbreak of homophobia was something that was very easy to anticipate. Just because once there is this pattern of behavior and there is no reaction from the political class or the political elite, what else can you expect? So that's why I believe that we badly need more public figures, more politicians, more people of culture and academic life who would expose themselves without being afraid of being, I don't know, stoned or reproached or otherwise abused by the crowd, by the political crowd. And it's pivotal. Otherwise, I'm just afraid that that was not the last of the disgraceful things that happened in my country. Thank you.